They say curiosity killed the cat, but curiosity is one of the things that we value a lot in our society and we want to grow in our kids. Today, Catherine and I are talking about how we can cultivate a culture of curiosity in our homes. Enjoy! Hey there, my name is Matthew, and I'm a nuclear launch officer in the United States Air Force and author of Nuclear Leadership.
And I'm Catherine, military wife and homeschool mama. Together, we have three kids, Garrett, who's 11, Renee, who's 9, and Riley Ann, who's 6.
And this is our nuclear family.
See what we did there? Nuclear launch officer, get it?
Catherine and I could talk about parenting for hours.
But hours are scarce around here, and for most of us, the years are short, but the days are long.
So that's why for the next 20 to 30 minutes,
we hope to spark some ideas and encourage you on a specific parenting topic.
We're not experts, but we do believe parenting is done better in community and that we can all learn from one another.
So strap in as we launch into the conversation. All right, I'm excited. Are you excited?
You. Excited.
Yes, because this is one of my favorite topics.
Yes, we do talk about this together a lot.
Yeah, because we feel like, I mean, kids are so naturally curious, right? And they have so many questions, and it can be one of like the most exhausting things about being a parent and all sure. the questions, especially when they're in their why phase. But also, it's so fun to see them like want to explore their world and learn more about it.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think so many times we can kind of look down on it in as adults in the way that we say, you know, curiosity killed the cat.
Sure.
Or other things like that. Like, this is how we've always done it. So don't ask that question.
Well, and I don't think we are proud of that or that we think that we think that way. Right? We don't do that intentionally. And if you were to say, my kid is really curious, you would think that is a good thing. And probably that you encourage that as a parent. Mm-hmm. What we have observed and what we sadly know to be true is that we are actually, as a society, not very good at fostering curiosity.
Right.
Many times.
Yeah, we have a lot of, our schools are designed to like get us to the right answer. And like, this is the answer. You know, but like true learning is a never-ending curiosity.
Right.
Right.
Well, and the love of learning.
And the love of learning, mm-hmm. yes, comes from having like an almost insatiable curiosity, right? Mm-hmm. Where you just want to know more the answer to one question leads to six other questions that then you have to investigate, right? That's the scientific method, right? What we hold up as the best way of learning, right, is the scientific method. But a lot of times we treat science as like, oh, science has spoken, so this is what science says, and this is the answer, and there's no more questions.
That's why sometimes I think we hesitate to pursue those questions with our kids, is because of the time it takes, and knowing that one question will probably lead to another question, which will probably lead to another question. And that takes time, and it takes mental energy and focus. And, you know, that's something that we don't have a lot of. We don't have a lot of time. We don't have a lot of energy, and we don't have a lot of focus. And so it's harder for us as parents sometimes to enter into that space. Not always. Yeah. We have bright, shining moments of, you know, really entering in with our kids. And that is great. And I'm, you know, there's a whole lot of reasons, valid reasons, why we don't have this time or energy a lot of times.
Sure.
But what we want to encourage you, I guess, today is how these questions and asking these questions of our kids and allowing our kids to ask questions of us mm-hmm. is actually such a great gift to both of you.
Right. And it's such a valued trait in a person, the curiosity. And so how it functions in terms of how they grow and how they experience the world is such a great thing, right? I was reading like the Big Five personality traits model
I don't know what that is.
I'm about to explain it.
Oh, okay.
It was explored in the 80s or adopted in the 80s, and it's the acronym OCEAN, and it's openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. So right at the very beginning of the big five personality traits is openness to experience, and like having curiosity it enables so much more than just learning and doing well in school, although obviously there's a lot to love about that, but just being open to other points of view, like in relationships, like how we relate to one another, how we experience the world. If we can help our kids engage openly, then I think we'll be setting them on the right path for success in a lot of different areas of life. And it doesn't just stop like at school age, right? Like it goes on into adulthood, because all these companies out in the world are looking for people who are imaginative. You know, they want innovation. Like these are the buzzwords in the business world.
Right.
So how can we cultivate this environment in our homes?
Right. Well, and I think that is the crux of the situation is it's an environment. It's not one thing that we always do, but we can be more aware and intentional of some of the things we are doing. And so one of those I would say is when your kid has a question, our favorite thing to do is answer that with a question and be curious with our kids.
Yeah.
Wow, that is so interesting. Yeah. Why do you think it does that?
Right. Yeah. Give me some of your first thoughts on what you think that could be.
Right. Do you have a guess? And I mean, that leads right into the second one, right? They go hand in hand is we want our kids to feel comfortable having the wrong answer. Right. That is a really interesting thought because we as adults are so nervous in having the wrong answer often.
Yeah.
And nobody really likes to be wrong.
Right.
Right. But if we can cultivate an environment where this is a guess, we're just hypothesizing. It's science.
Right.
We don't expect you to be right, even. We just want you to take a guess and use the knowledge that you already have to build a conclusion.
Yes.
And then we are going to experiment with that conclusion and find out if we're right or wrong or where our knowledge has some gaps and fill them in even just a little bit. And that is the exciting part. I think that's the fun part is to see our kids' confidence grow and we can truly like watch their knowledge expand with each new question that they have because they're like, well, this happened. So, I mean, a really long story short, but we were talking about space the other day and Saturn's rings and all the ice and chunks that make up all these rings of Saturn. And Garrett goes, well, but how? Because there's no gravity in space. And we were like, ooh, great question. Is there no gravity in space? And then we had a discussion and he started out pretty like, nope,
no gravity in space. Yeah.
And we were like, okay, so what are some ways that, you know, the moon stays in orbit? Or the planets stay on orbit, you know, and we just kind of worked through with questions so that his brain had to think.
Right.
Right. And it was so fun.
Yeah.
Did it take time? Sure. But that's why we have family dinner anyway. Like,
right.
You know, most of these questions and conversations happen at dinner time.
Yeah.
For us. That's when it happens. Talking about their day and then a question will arise and we can kind of foster that curiosity, but we want them to be able to freely and without judgment be wrong about something.
Right.
That's where discussion can happen well.
Yeah. There's an author that's the author of Thinking Fast and Slow, Daniel Kahneman. He said on a podcast I was listening to, like, being wrong is the only way that I know that I've actually learned anything. He's like, I love being wrong because otherwise I don't know that I've learned anything.
Interesting.
And so like to be able to give our kids the opportunity to, hey, just give me your best guess. Like we're going to have a continuing conversation. Right. Like I will get you to the right answer, but let's just see what you know. And honestly, a lot of times the kids know a lot more than they think they know. And right. I think that's part of it too, right? It's like, we want to be able to say, no, you actually could keep probably answer there. This question. Yeah. Like, let's pull this thread a little bit and let me help guide you there.
Right. Like, follow these breadcrumbs, pick them up. Mm-hmm. And if you know this to be true and this is also true, what would that mean?
Right.
And that's exactly what it is it's guiding and helping guide these discussions with our kids so that they can learn it and remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, we know that is when you do something yourself or when you have to really think through a conclusion yourself, you're way more likely to remember it than if somebody just hands you an answer.
Right.
You're like, oh, well, check. That's why we have to look up the same question on Google like 5 times. Like, who was that? Right. Instead of trying to like, well, it was in this and this and this. So,
right.
Oh, that person. Yeah, like we have to, and Google is wonderful.
Right.
Even for this, right? Because often there's also the, I have no idea.
Right.
Like as a parent, as an adult.
No idea where to even begin.
No. 0% chance that I know that.
Or, you know, it's a question like, hey, I have this spoon. Why is my reflection upside down? And you're like, I know it's got to do with the fact that it's concave.
But I don't remember why.
Help me out, Google. Fill out the rest of the details.
Yeah, right.
You know.
I mean, exactly. That was one of my favorite questions that my grandfather asked me as a kid was, hey, look, why are you upside down? And we got to have this great discussion. But he knew the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But so many times it's things like that where we're like, I know part of the answer.
Right.
So it's not a bad thing to Google.
Yeah.
That's not out of the question. But I would encourage you, even with that, to say, man, I have no idea. Let's think it through. Let's make a hypothesis and then look it up.
Right.
So that you have gathered your own breadcrumbs at that point and said, okay, well, what do we know?
Yeah.
Well, and so this is not just science. Mm-hmm. I would say that this question process and this environment of open questions of saying, okay, what about this? What about that? It is, of course, scholastic, you know, history and science and those things, which is so fun to talk about, but it's also social, right? Mm-hmm. If your kids are open to asking you questions and if you are helping to cultivate a environment of questions in your house, that can lead to such great discussion about things that are happening socially.
Right. Or different moral questions or ethical questions or, you know.
Even questions about movies that come out where their friend's not allowed to watch it. That's one we had recently. Their friend's not allowed to watch it, but we watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And why might that be? And what do we know about this movie? And, you know.
Or the opposite.
Right.
There are some movies other people will watch that we're like, yeah, I don't know that you're ready for that.
Yeah.
Or, no, we're not. So
we don't really watch those types of movies.
Right. Or these are the reasons why.
Yeah.
We've chosen at this time to not go there. But
right. All those things. If you cultivate a environment of questions and not just because I have made that decision.
Right.
Right. We've talked about this on the podcast before. I know it. Where if we can give our kids information, if they have a shelf for that, if it's safe to do so, we should give our kids information, right? It's helping give purpose and helping build that team mentality in our family where it's like, this is a safe space.
Right.
We want to have difficult discussions with you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes even those difficult discussions can be really fun in a weird way.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing their opinion.
Yeah. And, right? it's continuing conversation. Right. I mean, I think so many times as parents, we feel like we have to have like the be all end all answer and like to just say, all right, this is it. And be the
win
one.
Win the conversation.
Yeah, win the conversation. Be like, because I'm the parent, that's why. But the goal should not be to win the conversation. It should be to continue the conversation.
Right.
Right. Like that's where curiosity can flourish is when you give just enough detail that they're able to continue the conversation, you know, because sometimes you'll ask a question and they may, I don't know, I mean, any of us, right? When we get quizzed with something, like, they're like,
and unless it's I like, no longer want to know.
Right. Unless it's something like, when is your birthday or what is your name? And even then, sometimes it's what like, I'm not sure. I don't even know where to begin. Like,
doctor's office with your kids. What is their birthday? Ooh, I don't know. Year at zero. I have three kids. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. So it's easy to get flustered when you're put on the spot.
Right.
You know, and even more so for a kid when there's, you know, a clear dynamic between like who has the authority to answer this question. You know, they can easily freeze up. And so being able to ask so if that happens and we ask a small question or a question and it's like, oh, that was too big. All right, let me break that down into a smaller piece, you know, right. Like back to the Saturn's rings. Like, so how did the rings stay in place if there's no gravity, you know?
Right.
And then to just like compare it to other things that they know, you know, well, how does the moon stay in place?
So, right. Well, and we don't have to be, they can be softball questions or we can make a statement and say, well, I know that this is true. The Earth pulls the moon like it has a gravitational pull on the moon. Mm-hmm. So if we know that the Earth has a gravitational pull on the moon, what might that mean? Let's think through it together.
Right.
You know, Riley asked a question the other day about why a cup of water is warm, but the lake is cold.
Yeah.
And we were like, great question. Well, I started asking her questions kind of like we always do. And she was like, I got nothing. Like, just wasn't having it.
Yeah.
And she was, you know, just really, it was pretty funny because I was like, Riley, what is the difference between a cup of water and a lake? And she was like, that you can swim in it? I was like, yeah, yes. Good. What's the difference? Like, come on, sister, come on. And so, but we kept with it. And I ended up like drawing pictures with like a big, deep arrow, shallow. I was like, what are the difference between these lines? One's longer. If it's touching the bottom of the lake, what does that mean? Like,
right.
And it was so, that's actually what gave us the inspiration to do this. Cause it was like, this is the most painful question process ever. But you know what?
I thought I was giving you a softball. Tell me the difference between a cup and a lake.
And you don't even have to give me all the answers. Clearly, there's lots. She's like, I don't know.
They're both water? I said differences. Oh my gosh.
It was so painful. But then as we got into it and we kept, I mean, we started laughing. So, but not laughing at her. We were, you know, she was fine. It wasn't like, she didn't feel like we were laughing at her.
Right.
And Garrett and Renee got in with it and tried to help ask these questions because we know that if we ask questions, they remember and they learn. And so we were doing this and suddenly it clicked for her. And she's like, oh, well, it's deeper. And this happens and this happens and this happens. Here's all these different differences.
And she had the answer.
And or the, you know, all the multiple answers. And we looked at a map and it was fun. But it was like, it was worth it. At the end, it clicked and she got into the questions and thinking through things and it was worth it. It really was. But man, the first 5 minutes of this was like
real painful. It's like, I
do can't teach you. I promise. Like,
I don't know how I can make this any simpler.
Yeah, it was funny. But it just reinforced our like questions can be so fun with kids if we have an attitude of this is fun with kids.
Right.
Right. I think sometimes we feel like it's not going to be fun or because either we don't know the answer or because they're giving stupid answers or it feels like stupid answers.
Right.
Where you're like, come on, like you're just making me feel bad about myself.
Right. Like, I feel like you've learned
nothing.
We pour
into you. Like, why? But that it's our default answer as humanity to be like, I don't know. A lot of times, like that is not what we were designed to do. We were designed to intentionally ask questions and find answers and have curiosity, right? That's how we were designed. But We have so many answers available to us that it's so easy to say, I don't know.
At the click of a button or...
Oh, I'll just look it up.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to like sit in the struggle, and it's so healthy for us and for our kids to like sit in that uncomfortable place of I don't know. Right? This is how good discussions happen also. I would say, you know, we start with science and we start with history and all these things. But, and, you know, talking about movies that are, but we also, I had a discussion with a friend the other day where she goes, it's super hard for me to discuss with these, I think they're ninth graders in her class, about situations that don't have an obvious answer in society. Like, she was like, I'm trying, like, where the good guy might be the bad guy and the bad guy might be the good guy. I don't like talking about that.
Right.
And I said, well, that's really interesting. So are you talking about, like, Robin Hood? He was a thief. Like, he's a villain.
Right.
But we celebrate him as a hero. But in today's society, would we see that the same way? You know, and having these really difficult conversations. And those are hard to sit in for all of us.
Yeah.
But it's a really healthy thing to do.
Right.
To have these questions that may not have an obvious answer and to sit in the discomfort. And maybe that discussion lasts more than one dinner. I hope it does.
Right.
Right. We don't have to have this answer to some of these bigger questions, but we do need to be able to discuss them.
Yeah. I think it's part of the reason why it's so uncomfortable is there's so much mental fatigue that goes with that. You know, I mean, like anything that we're learning, we're putting a lot of mental mind power into it can be really hard. And it's like, oh my gosh, that just sounds like so much work to have this conversation. So, but I think part of what helps with that is, like you said, having an environment where that's kind of expected. You know, or where something comes up and our kids make an observation about something and just being able to say like, wow, that's a really great observation.
Right.
You know, like something like that is even a way of encouraging curiosity.
Right. That's that is less so interesting.
Mental energy.
Yeah.
You know, and even if you don't go into like the, because you don't have the mental capacity to go into like, why do you think that is? You know,
right. Yeah. Like, well, you don't have to do that every single
time. Like when light shines through a prism and creates a rainbow on the on the floor and Riley Ann says, oh my gosh, look, a rainbow. I don't have the time to go into like light refraction with you right now because you're six and you don't wouldn't care anyways. But just
or being, even if she does, we're going out the door. Like, we
right. We're
this.
Yeah. That is
not the moment.
A great observation, Riley. Would you please get your shoes on? This is the fifth time I've asked.
That is an amazing moment. Or like, huh, where is that coming from? The window. Great. That is awesome. I'm so glad you made that connection. Let's go.
Like, right.
You know, I mean, I know you were, your point was you don't always have to enter into questions. It's my default setting. Where is the light coming from? Excellent. Let's go. Like, I need one question. But they can be easy like that. You don't have to like look it up in Google and find all the science behind.
Right.
You know, everything.
Have
you
all
do.
These diagrams of prisms and light.
But I think I think the point is it starts young. Like we can start this at a very, very, very young age.
Right.
Asking our kids questions. We're not asking them whether they think Robin Hood is a villain or a hero at the age of three.
Right.
Like, we're not there yet. That's later. Mm-hmm. But we want to invite a culture into our house of that when they do get older, when they do have these moral questions or these deeper theological questions, that we're able to say, we have always invited a environment of wanting you to be able to ask questions and you where you can be wrong. And so can we can also be wrong.
Yeah.
That's how we learn about one another. Right.
Right. Well, and just like, love
young kids, like do it with young kids.
Right. And it's nice with young kids because they're curious about so many things, but we can just start with where they're curious. You know, like we're out on a walk and they're like, I mean, we went to the
Botanical gardens
with the kids, and they were walking around in there, and Riley was like, oh, look, a ladybug on this one little leaf that I would have just walked right past.
Yeah.
You know, but she was interested in it, and it was like, oh my gosh, great eyes, Riley, yeah. Way to go. And just in the course of walking through this like rose garden, I saw these berry things on a rose bush, and I was like, I've never seen berries on a rose bush before. What is this? And so I did the Google thing. Like, I pulled out Google Lens and took a picture of it and found out, oh, it's rose hips. They're like the fruit of a rose bush.
Rose hips actually come from roses.
Right. Oh, I was like,
I only know that from skincare.
And I didn't even know about that. Yeah. Like, that's a new term to me altogether. But just being able to observe, and like being outside is such a great spot for that. Like you said, we weren't designed to be at computers all day long and inside the four walls of our house.
Right.
We were built to be outside and to be a part of nature and just observe. And so many observations come from just being able to be outside. So we love that. So many like good observations happen when we're just walking.
Well, and so many times those questions come from your kids. But what you just did was you sparked that other thought, which is we also can initiate the questions, right? Yes. In a safe way, like where it's not really a question when you're walking outside with your littles and you're like, wow, look at our shadows. How strange. How strange that it changes length based on how I turn or what, you know.
Yeah.
Look at this. Look at that. Why is it, you know, I wonder why it's that direction. And just say it and see what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to make a whole science lesson, but it's attending to the details around us, right? Yeah. We are bringing attention to interesting things around us, and they don't have to spark a huge discussion. They don't have to spark 15 million questions.
Right.
But it is getting them to notice the things around them, which then sparks curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where it starts, is attending to the details of, on at Lawrence and Gardens, it was, look at that ladybug in that bush. Well, on a different day, in a different moment, I might be like, what bush is that? Why do ladybugs like it?
Yeah.
Can we find any other ladybugs? Is this a trend? Like, you know, that is my science brain that goes, ooh, this is so fun. It was like 90 degrees and we had already been walking for quite some time, and we were hunting for, they had little gnomes hidden all over. So it was really fun. And so we were like, well, that's cool, and move on, you know, so we can spark this gateway to observation.
Right.
Just by attending to the details.
Because that is the first step of curiosity, right? Is, I mean, that is part of the scientific method, right? You observe something, you see it, you say, wonder why that's like that. And then it takes you down the path to experimentation and to trying to figure out what the answer is.
Right. Right. And it's just so fun. So we use this term in our homeschool a lot of the lead learner. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what it all boils down to. Like, are we willing to be the lead learner in our home and say,
As opposed to the teacher. Right. Or the person who has all of the answers.
Yes.
Because I think we feel that weight sometimes as parents. It's like, I have to have all the answers.
Right.
Instead of saying, no, I can be the lead learner in this house.
Right.
Which just means that if I don't know,
let's try to find out whether it's the long way of going to the library and doing all the things or the short way and saying, hey, Google, hey, Siri, like, why does it do this? And, oh, that's it. And that can be it. But it's still inviting a culture of curiosity and a lead learner mentality, right? We're all learning together. And so it's fun. It can be fun with your kids, but you have to practice.
Yeah.
That would be the other thing, is you don't start with remembering to ask your kids questions all the time or enter into those discussions or saying, hey, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Give me a guess. It's okay to be wrong.
Yeah.
Right? You have to practice that. As a parent, we have to practice that. And But then it does become the second nature in your home, and it's really fun. So that's my encouragement to you.
Yeah. Great conversation. I really had a lot of fun with this. If you liked this episode and would like to share it with others, feel free to share it on your stories or through your page. It's a really great way for folks to find out about the podcast is through just word of mouth.
Yep. Share it on your Instagram at r.nuclear.family, or you can find our website at rnuclearfam.com. And have fun asking questions, guys. We love you.